And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thousands of Alaskans have been waiting without food stamps for months due to a backlog in the State Division of Public Assistance. Officials blame a 2021 cyber attack and a huge influx of paperwork after the state ended its public health emergency for the COVID-19 pandemic. But sources inside and outside the division say the problem goes back much further. Alaska Public Media's Casey Grove checked in with KTOO reporter Claire Strimple to get the details.
Claire, how bad is the problem and how did we get here?
The state said about 8,000 people are waiting for food stamps, some of them since September. But workers inside the Division of Public Assistance have said the number is much higher. And it's not just food stamps. The Division of Public Assistance also processes Medicaid and other federal assistance programs. Sources at Providence say they've seen mothers with babies in the NICU wait a month for their Medicaid applications to be processed. One medical provider, Heidi Young, says she's seen patients get stuck in the hospital for 60 to 90 days because the state doesn't process their Medicaid insurance.
And the fact that the legislature has been aware of this and the Commissioner of Health and Social Services has been made aware of this on multiple occasions, and they keep passing the buck. And I just think Alaskans need more support than that.
State officials say we got here because of a cyber attack on the department in 2021 and a large volume of paperwork after the state ended the public health emergency this summer. During the pandemic, there wasn't as much paperwork for food stamp benefits, but when it was over, everyone had to refile. Sources inside the department say the backlog goes back years and is due to understaffing and mismanagement.
Okay, but wait, did you just say people are getting stuck in the hospital for, what, 2 or 3 months because of what's essentially a backlog of paperwork? Wouldn't that end up costing a whole lot more?
It's expensive. But I learned from Jared Kosin, he runs a trade group for hospitals, that if someone's cleared for release from the hospital but has nowhere to go for lower-level care, the hospital can't let them leave. Insurance doesn't usually cover unnecessary hospital stays, so hospitals are actually on the hook to pay.
Well, that doesn't sound good for anybody. Anyway, back to the food stamps. Are people actually going hungry?
I've gotten emails from Alaskans who say they're skipping meals so their children can eat. That's not everyone's story. For some people, this just means their budget is a little tighter or that friends and family help out or they go to the food bank. For others, it can be really dire, like choosing between bills and food. There are different levels of food stamp benefits you can get that correlate to different levels of food insecurity. There's also a level of fear because Alaskans don't know how long they have to wait. Some people have been waiting since the fall and may have weeks to go. Last week, the state said they have about 950 applications from September left to process. The first source I talked to, Nikita Chase, spoke out because she started dipping into her emergency food supply and was worried about fellow Alaskans who didn't have moose set aside in the freezer like she did.
What about the people who are barely keeping their heads above float who, you know, need this money to pay rent for month to month, or they need this money to heat their homes, or they need this money to feed their families?
She said she had to skip paying her electric bill last month. But the good news is she called the state ombudsman and her case got processed. So she and her kids have their food stamps now.
Yeah, I guess having each individual family file a complaint with the ombudsman doesn't seem realistic, though. So what does the state say about how it's really going to fix this?
The state says it's working to onboard about 30 new hires and that the division director has requested to hire several dozen more. Sources inside the department say those efforts are not sufficient, and one anonymous source said the state is not spending enough time to train new hires on the complex systems required to manage federal programs. If you look at the state's spending, you can see that the governor cut more than 100 jobs from the division in 2021. That doesn't mean layoffs. It means that when people quit or get promoted or retire, those positions are allowed to stay vacant. So this acute moment of understaffing has its roots there. State employees say their colleagues are quitting at a rapid pace. One said they were, quote, dropping like flies. The leader of the union that represents state workers, Marianne Ganassius, says it's gotten so bad that worker safety is actually her main concern at this point. She says workers get contacted outside of work and threatened by clients who have been waiting too long for help.
They're becoming a little more aggressive and volatile because of the backlog and not being able to access their benefits.
She's not sure the state's hiring will work if the workers feel unsafe.
So, Claire, you've reported this in a couple installments. What have you heard as you've been covering this story?
After the first story in December, KTOO was flooded with emails and calls from people who were waiting on food stamps. After the state finally talked to us for the second story, I started hearing from people within the department and people who help Alaskans get food stamps and other benefits like Medicaid. They say some stressed clients are taking out their frustration on workers, harassing them online, approaching them in the grocery store, calling them names, and even threatening them with violence. And they say this backlog problem isn't new. It goes back years, and that only systemic change can fix it. In other words, simply hiring new workers doesn't address the high turnover rates and workplace conditions that lead to them.
All right. Well, we trust that you will continue to follow this. That was KTOO reporter Claire Strempel. You can read her full reporting at ktoo.org or alaskapublic.org. Claire, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Casey.
And after months of back and forth over a high-profile oil and gas lease sale in Cook Inlet, just one company placed bids. As KDLL's Sabine Pooks reports, that continues a trend of lukewarm interest from the industry in the inlet's federal waters.
Hilcorp Alaska was the sole bidder in last week's federal sale, dropping almost $64,000 on one tract in Lower Cook Inlet. The 2,000-acre tract is a small sliver of the nearly 1 million acres the Department of the Interior had put up for bid. Roger Marks says he's not surprised. He's an economist who's been watching Cook Inlet's oil and gas industry for four decades, and he says there's always been lethargic interest from companies in that part of the inlet.
You know, this was the market speaking, you know, and the market, you know, was pretty knowledgeable. And I think it just indicates that the federal outer continental shelf is just a poor place to think about developing oil and gas because of the geology.
Still, the sale has been hotly contested, and the auction rounds out a long saga of cancellations and rescheduling. Ultimately, the sale was written into federal law, part of the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act from Congress. Last Friday, as the clock wound down on the final days of 2022, the feds held a live reading of the results.
For today's sale, BOEM received one bid on one block. The bid is for lease number Y02448.
The tract Hilcorp bought is not far from Chichitna Bay, near the west side of Lower Cook Inlet. It doesn't border existing Hilcorp properties, and it's unclear what the company wants with the tract. Hilcorp will not answer specific questions about the sale. Oil and gas companies play their cards close to their chest, so it's hard to know what they're finding when they look for gas in places like the inlet. But Mark says the continued lack of interest and the low price Hilcorp paid for the lease shows that the geology of the area is probably just not good.
All the production that's ever occurred in Cook Inlet going back to the 1950s has been on state acreage. So the geology on state acreage is good, just on the federal acreage, not good.
Hilcorp was the sole bidder in a state sale last week, where it picked up six leases in the upper part of the inlet. Sue Mauger is executive director of Cook Inlet Keeper, one of the environmental groups that sued the feds over the sale last month, based on what they said was an incomplete environmental review process.
The fact that this sale was not successful is really a positive thing for Alaska and Alaskans.
She says the lack of new industry interest in both sales shows there are environmental and economic reasons both to not hold auctions there.
We have a win in that we won't have new emissions coming out of Cook Inlet with new development. However, we have to figure out what the future is for heating our homes.
Hilcorp provides South Central Alaska with most of its natural gas supply, which is used to heat homes and generate electricity. Last year, Hilcorp warned its buyers it might not have the supply to renew their contracts into the future. Mauger says the plaintiffs in the lawsuit are continuing with the suit and that they'll keep asking the Biden administration to not go forward with awarding the lease to Hilcorp. And she says long term, they hope the feds don't hold any more lease sales in Cook Inlet. In Kenai, I'm Sabine Pooks.
And the U.S. National Cross Country Skiing Championships got underway in Michigan yesterday, and Alaska skiers had strong results. In the women's 10-kilometer skate race technique event, the Alaska Pacific University Nordic Ski Center racer Haley Swerbel took the top spot. University of Alaska Fairbanks skiers Kendall Kramer and Mariel Pulis finished 10th and 11th. In the men's 10K, David Norris, who grew up in Fairbanks, took third place, followed by UAF skiers Mike Ophoff and Joe Davies in 5th and 6th. APU's Garrick Butts followed in seventh place. U.S. Nationals continue tomorrow with Classic Technique sprint races. And as for the weather, it's currently 34 degrees and cloudy in Juneau this afternoon. You're listening to KTOO.